Right, hello everybody. This is a very special PBIC teleclass because today I am not at home, I'm not with Alex, a video guy. I am at the Evolve Business Centre with my accountant. So this is Lorraine Ellison. Say hello, Lorraine.
Hi everybody.
And Lorraine, so I'm going to get you to introduce yourself in a minute and to tell us a bit about you, how you became an accountant and stuff like that. I think probably about five years you've been my accountant for,
It might be more.
A bit longer than that,
Time flies.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, you're right. Because...
You joined our networking group.
That's right, yeah. That was how we met, through Rachel Taylor. She invited me to that.
Lovely Rachel.
Rachel, who owns Meg the Pug. Everybody will know Meg the Pug.
She loves Meg.
So then came along to that, and then, we've been...
And then your business took off. And then you were too busy to come and network with us, but we still stayed in touch.
Yeah, we did. No, we stayed in touch. Yeah. And you've helped me. You probably helped me more now than... Probably because I'm reaching out more to you, aren't I? Challenges and stuff that I'm facing in my own business and stuff.
Going through a few growing pains.
Yeah, for sure, definitely.
So and, it's making it more important to be up to date with your finances, business records.
Yeah, no, 100%, 100%.
And it's quite good because what you're trying to do is help those who are earlier on in their growth phase to get organised so they don't get those pains that you're having.
And they are pains, aren't they?
It's very painful.
I mean, we'll talk about it in a minute, the different sort of phases of your business growth and stuff. First of all, how did you become an accountant then?
Well, it was by accident. Mm-hmm. I found I was very good at maths.
Mm-hmm. Which obviously helps.
Well, it does, but the truth of it is I can't add up. I have to get a calculator out. But I'm really good with formulas and tax and software and business records and I don't like doing the bookkeeping, so I try to use software to make it easy. Mm-hmm. And it just all comes together nicely, and I love startups and I love helping people. So I went to the careers. I stayed on at school and they wouldn't let me do works experience. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I actually wanted to work in an office and be a secretary, but I was no good at shorthand. So because I was good at numbers, they sent me to work as a trainee accountant. And because I hadn't gone to university, I had to go and do a BTEC in business and finance. And then the boss at the time said, why don't you do a Chartered Institute Management Accountant exam? And I thought, well, I'll give it a go. I'll maybe get halfway and I'd be par qualified. And then when I got to halfway, I thought, oh, well, if I can do that, I can go the whole way. So I just, but the fourth year, this is really funny because I had to sit the exam levels 6 times. So that's 24 exams.
Good Lord.
And I just knew I could do it. It was just a question of applying myself. Uh-huh. I used to work at the Sunderland Echo at the time.
Right.
And I used to work overtime and Saturday morning, so I could never do my studying, which is why I kept failing. But I just kept on going. And I eventually, on the 6th attempt, got my pass. Mm. And all the way along, I was learning how to do accounts and things like that. And because I've got a really inquisitive mind, I just delved into everything. So I used to find out how did the press work? Mm-hmm. How did you... work out how much did it cost to print a newspaper? Mm-hmm. How did you work out how much to charge for advertising revenue? Mm-hmm. And I was interested in how it worked rather than just the numbers. Mm-hmm. And it's just been brilliant. Mm-hmm. The years were just repetitive. Not at the Echo, but I moved a few jobs. I was working down in Stockton. And the job was just becoming routine. It was the same thing every year. It was the same month end every... And I'm not one for routine. I've got no routine at all. Honestly, even like trying to get the food shopping in, it just doesn't happen. I have to wait till the fridge is empty and go running
for
food.
You did manage to rustle up some biscuits.
I did, yes. One of my favourites. Somebody's brought some biscuits in. So then I went looking, stripping off.
That's what the noise is, by the way.
I know, it's a bit warm. I went to the recruitment agents looking for a job in tax because I'd found that I love tax. I know people look at me odd when I say I love tax. I'll explain why later. But they said, oh, well, you'll have to take a massive pay cut and there's no real jobs about at the minute and you'll have to start at the bottom of the ladder. And anyway, I thought, well, I'm not doing that. So I decided, strangely enough, to set my own business up. Really didn't have a clue what I was doing. There wasn't all this help around in those days. So it was about 12 years ago. So I set the business up and I thought, well, if it doesn't work out, I'll just go and get another job and I won't have my salary getting in the way. And then I got bumped into the Gordon brothers, who were the networking kings of the North East. They bullied me into going networking. Can you believe it? I was going, oh, I know, it's too expensive and I'll have to get up early on a Friday morning. I can't do that. Anyway, I did it and it turned out to be the best thing ever because it turned out I actually really like meeting people and I love the business angle and helping people get started. And it, I just went from there. And then, as you know, I've gone from being a single person working in my own business to now we've got seven people working in the business.
Amazing, great bunch of staff as well you've got, haven't you?
Well, you know why?
I'm not just saying that.
But because we've got flexible working, so people can work at home or in the office and they choose their own hours, that take a day off, you know, when you want to do a day. If you've been out the night before to a function and you've had to have...
I've all been there.
You've had to have one or too many drinks. So they're allowed to just say, oh, I'm not coming in. As long as the work gets done and the deadlines and the customers are looked after. And we look after the customers like family. So, everybody's happy. I don't have to micromanage them. They're a good set.
Excellent.
And then we found QuickBooks.
Yeah.
About 3 or 4 years ago. Oh, it's just changed our life.
It's going to change my life, isn't it?
So. Oh, yeah. We spent a few years trying to encourage you.
Yeah, you did.
But yeah, because it just automates things. So you can bring things in from the bank. And the work can be done while you're out with the dogs or sleeping or reading a book or something like that. So that's what we're trying to do. It's not all about trying to make money out of the customers. It's about making the customer's life easier and their business run better. So that's really what our focus is. We don't really want to do the bookkeeping either.
No.
But we're better at it.
Yeah, for sure.
And we're using the software to make it automated so that none of us have to do the bookkeeping.
I love it. Well, before we get into the sort of basics of what people should be doing with their accounting, I want to just touch on what you said about... like the family aspect of it, because I think from my point of view, I feel like, well, obviously we've seen a bit more of each other lately, haven't we, with the stuff that I've got going on in my business, but I feel like you're somebody that I can confide in, you know what
Definitely.
I mean? And I feel like just talk to, bounce ideas off.
It's not just about tax.
No, not.
It's and about how it fits into your whole life.
Yeah.
You know, before you even do anything, it's what are you planning to do? Are you trying to move house? Are you trying to get a mortgage? Are you planning to get married? Are you planning on having a family? And if you don't know that as your starting point, you have no idea where you're going to go with your business because it all has to fit together. They say you're not an island or whatever. But it all has to fit. So it's your personal life, your family, your children, and your pets. And your business, and it all
and your goals together. And stuff as well, isn't it?
You've got to identify what it is you're trying to do. Otherwise, what's the point? Some people think about just growing their business so they make loads of money. Money is not the answer to happiness. It's about having the lifestyle you want. So can you go and walk the dogs? Can you go on holiday? Can you afford the holiday? Have you got money worries? Should you be doing something so you're reducing your risk? Are you worried about your house being taken off you and that sort of thing? So we also do help people to go through bankruptcy as well. And sometimes it's a hard decision, but that's the right decision that frees them to make a new business and a new life. So it is all, it starts with the person and the business fits into it. You can't just look at them separately.
No, it doesn't. And I think probably more than ever in my life, I've confided in this with the guys anyway. Well, just, I mean, I've enjoyed running a business and I love helping the guys in the group, you know, and we just talked earlier on, didn't we, about somebody you've helped a business and you've saved them like 20 grand or something,
oh,
you know?
Yes, I heard
and
that
like, it's like a real feel good fact. I had a similar thing, just like, well, similar things all the time. There's a guy, got a daycare in Shields and I've given him a few, he's been in my group for 3 months. I'm just giving him a couple of things to work on, and like he's like 700 quid up already, you know.
Isn't that brilliant?
And it's just like, wow, you know.
And it's not even about the amount of money.
No.
Because yesterday was like a £1,300 saving on a tax bill, which it depends where you are in your life. £1,300 is a lot of money
for
me.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And to somebody who's like struggling with cash, £1,300 is a great amount of money. And it was the difference between a holiday and a not.
Absolutely. And I think from my point of view, where I am at the minute, I think I've started to reassess, like, well, actually, how much money do I want to earn, you know,
and
how
much... Because it's not all about the
money,
is it?
Exactly, yeah. And I've never really been one, you know what I mean? I'm not like a flash Harry or not like that, you know, but I...
But they all tell you you've got to go for a massive amount of money. I went to somewhere and they were talking about how to build your accountancy business to £1 million business. That isn't what I want to
do.
I want enough that I can go on holiday, that I can actually pay somebody else to clean the house.
And do the shopping.
And do the gardening and that sort of thing. So I can just, you know, either enjoy my life or go and help somebody else to improve their business.
So we should probably do a part two on this to see where I ended up. I'll leave my story for now.
It's a great story though. It does illustrate, you know, the different phases.
Yeah, exactly. Like I've had, the guys know I've had like ups and downs along the way. I tried the online store, and that didn't work. Do you know what I mean? But like business is like that, isn't it? You know,
it, you would have always regretted. Oh no,
for sure. Well, if I hadn't done that, it wouldn't have led on to what I'm doing now.
Exactly,
you know, and the books and all that kind of thing. I don't have any regrets. I think it's
a learning process.
Exactly.
But what you're doing is you're sharing your learning so that people can cut out the long way.
Yeah, yeah.
And
hopefully
get there.
That's
a bit
the idea,
ahead,
isn't
yeah,
it? Yeah, ahead, yeah, 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 for sure. So just recap that then quickly. The relationship you have with your accountant's key, isn't it?
Oh,
you
know? Absolutely. We don't really want to see people once a year. We want to, and it's not so much just meeting up. Sometimes it's just a telephone call or an email just to find out, you know, what's going on. I rang somebody on Wednesday and there wasn't actually a purpose for the phone call. It was just, I'm just ringing up to see if you're all right, what's going on in your life. And as a result of that discussion, I'd said to him, and absolutely nothing to do with tax or accounts or whatever, but I was saying, you know, you've got a young baby, you need to be thinking about a will, you need to be thinking about a pension. If you need me to put you in touch with somebody, I can, but I want you to put that on your agenda over the next couple of months.
Yeah.
And I went, oh yeah, and I get stuck in the day-to-day, I'm forgetting to plan about my family. It's little things like that about making sure it's a whole thing, you know, not just about how much tax are we going to save.
No.
It's making sure that they're in a comfortable position and they don't live to regret not doing something just because they didn't have time.
Yeah.
You know how busy we all get.
For sure. Would you... I mean, I always kind of recommend my guys to be doing this if they're spending it. Certainly, if they're anything like me, where they're not very good at it, like having an accountant in general, a good idea.
I think so. But you have to look at how simple is your business.
Yeah.
For example, I've got somebody who does actually do dog walking in a very small scale, and we've sat down and chatted. You know, because she could do accounts herself, but she doesn't want to because she's worried about it. She wants us to prepare it and check it and press the button. It doesn't cost
it's a peace of mind factor too, isn't it? It's a huge thing for
and
people.
And it's not a lot of money, and we do look after her, and we'll remind her to, you know, claim for mileage and things like that. Her case, now if somebody was really confident and really up, maybe they're good with IT and they're happy doing the filing themselves, there's no harm at all in doing their own. There's loads of help on HMRC site. There's loads of videos. There's no reason why somebody can't do their own. But for example, your case, I would say you should have one because you've got multiple.
I agree.
Multiple.
Do you know anyone?
I know the best. You've got multiple income streams. You've got a busy thing going on. You're not really fond of.
No, not at all. I'm really not. I mean, to the degree where I think the last time I contacted you, well, earlier this year, I was just like, the conversation we ended up having was like, can you just do it, please? Because it's stressing me out even just thinking about it, you know?
And watching you in that stress state about thinking about having to do it and watching the fact that you weren't doing it even though you wanted to, it was too painful.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was why we were saying, look, just forget doing it, give it to somebody else to do. I'm not bothered who it is. It doesn't need to be us. Just don't try and do it yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
it's not your forte.
No, definitely not. No. Uh-huh.
And I think you have to recognise that. But some people, they do like to.
Absolutely. I guess they want to do it.
Like to be in control. They keep their records like perfect. Mm-hmm. And
I know a couple of people like that. Actually,
And for those people, yes, do it yourself. Mm-hmm. By all means, there's loads of forums. You can ring HMRC for free. You can get the help if you've got a question. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got one question, how much is the mileage rate? Can I get tax relief on this thing that I've bought? So they can go and get the answers to a specific question.
Yeah.
And they don't need an accountant.
No.
But if it's complicated or you're afraid or whatever, and what we say to some people, I had an oven cleaning guy, and eventually, I did it for about 4 years, and then I said, look, you know, you could do your own. I know you're good at IT and all the rest of it. We actually trained him to do his own tax return.
Then
he paid us a fee for the next 2 years just to check it.
Mm-hmm.
So he paid a lower fee just to check it.
Yeah.
And then he started doing his own.
Mm.
And so we're looking at it from their point of view rather than our point of view.
For sure. Uh-huh. Yeah. So all in all, if you can do it yourself and you know what you're doing and you're happy to do it and you're keen and you're good at it, get on with it. Otherwise, there's not really any excuse not to have one, though, is there?
Some people think it's going to cost a fortune. Yeah. There are a lot of cloud-based accountants who do it, but you don't get the personal service.
Of course,
as you know, we are digitally enabled, but we don't provide a cloud service because we like to meet people.
Yeah.
So can give them a better, fully rounded support. Mm-hmm. But there's loads of people. Some people do it in their spare time. So you could get somebody who does it part time or spare time, and they don't charge a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just about looking at what price fits you.
Yeah.
And I think the hardest thing is finding a good accountant.
Because
how do you know a good accountant from a bad accountant?
Mm.
It's really difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say
about dog trainers, I guess, or whatever, couldn't you? You know,
I don't know. If you don't know somebody good, how do you define who is good?
Uh-huh.
I think that's the biggest problem.
Yeah, for sure.
And that might put people off. And there's also a tradition of accountants like to terrorise people.
Really?
Yes. Somebody came to see us. Honestly, it's amazing that these people still exist.
Jesus.
Somebody came to see us and she told us that she had to call her accountant, Mr. Now, I'm not going to say his name in case it could be true. So I wouldn't say it. Mr. Brown.
Yeah.
She had to call him Mr. Brown.
Jesus.
She had to call the accountant Mr. Brown. He's providing her with a service and she's having to call him Mr. Brown.
Uh-huh.
And when she was sending him emails to ask him questions, he wouldn't reply. Obviously, far too important to be replying to somebody. Anyway, these days you can find approachable accountants. That's what you want. You want somebody you feel relaxed with. If you go in to meet somebody and you think, oh my God, I'd be afraid to ask him a question or her a question, that's not the right person for you.
No, definitely not.
Why the networking thing quite comes in really well, because you get to meet the people before you actually
And I guess I would have just picked someone out the phone book, wouldn't I, really?
You would ask one of your relatives, do you know anybody?
Yeah.
And I tell you what, they're the worst
ones
because they don't really know good from bad.
No.
And I really feel for people who've got to choose and they don't get introduced to somebody good.
Because
we often end up having to pick up the pieces afterwards.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm not just saying this to blow smoke up your arse here, but like I do feel...
You just swore. I've told you not to swear.
I do feel... Oh, God, the guys are used to this, don't worry. I do feel... I feel like I'm in safe hands, you know?
Yes.
Like more than safe hands, really.
And that's really important to us. We want to be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
And we honour that trust.
Yeah.
We know we've been placed in a position of real care.
Yeah, yeah.
So we look after it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, you really do. Yeah. Right then, let's go back to the basics then. You
yes.
know, when someone's kind of setting up a pet just business, be it a dog walker, dog trainer, dog groomer, or a daycare or something like that, what are the kind of basics that we have to
Well,
think
first
about?
Of all, you have to decide, are you running a hobby or a business?
Yeah.
Because if you're running a hobby or you're just testing it, there's new rules out now.
Right.
It wasn't around when you started.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed £1,000 worth of expenses before you have to report your income.
Oh, right. Interesting.
I didn't have that on my list.
No, you didn't.
That came out, I think, last year or whatever. So we've got somebody who's creating pottery and stuff like that, and they ask the question, do I have to declare the income?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's selling it in a cafe, and it was like, why don't you just keep a record of how much you earn,
mm-hmm.
And when it gets close, say £800, mm-hmm. consider, are you going to make a business of it?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you just going to have it as a hobby?
Mm-hmm.
But it becomes a business anyway if your profit is more than £1,000.
Right, if your profit is more than £1,000.
Well, if your turnover is over £1,000, because you can then only, if you've got £1,000 turnover, you can offset £1,000 costs
mm-hmm.
without any receipts or anything.
Right.
Which is a handy thing to know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got zero profit at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
If you go to £1,200 turnover
mm-hmm.
and you deduct your £1,000 costs
mm-hmm.
allowance, you've got £200 profit.
Mm-hmm.
You need to report it
as
a business.
I see. Okay.
Even though you're running it as a hobby.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. It becomes a business because you've made a profit.
Uh-huh. So it's not like a huge amount of money, but at the same time, it's a nice little, for somebody to start something, isn't it, and test something.
But if you're going out doing dog walking, you're getting paid for it.
Mm.
You can say it's a hobby or a small business. If you haven't earned over £1,000,
yeah,
and that's all you're doing,
uh-huh.
you're not running five different businesses.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Uh-huh.
You don't have to. You don't have to declare it. You don't have to report it. You don't have to register as self-employed. But if you've decided this is what's going to be your business,
mm-hmm.
and you're building it up, then you need to register with HMRC.
Mm-hmm.
They have a rule saying you've got to register within 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's dead easy to register. You can either ring them up or you can go on the website and just fill in your details. They usually encourage you to set up a gateway account.
Mm-hmm.
So you just follow the links.
Yeah.
If you're not sure, you know, they can ask you.
And
I'll send you the link.
Send me the link. Okay, fair enough.
Because you've got to be cyber aware.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Make sure you get the right link and you're not conned.
Yeah.
Because you've got to put very important data in, like your passport.
Date of birth.
So be very careful about what links.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, for sure.
So then you would register and they would send you out a UTR,
mm-hmm.
unique tax reference.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 10-digit number, and that's what you need in order to submit a tax return.
Yeah.
Hand to your accountant if you have one, so they can submit your tax return. And then people put the piece of paper away and forget about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, been there.
And then they don't know when the deadline is and whatever, so it all gets a bit scary. So in a practical point of view, the first thing, in my view, you need to set up a bank account.
Yeah.
And again, this is a question that's always raised. Do I need to get a business bank account? Not if you don't have to, no.
Right.
If you're running as a sole trader, you can just, you know, quite often you'll have three bank accounts and one's sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah, of
it's
course.
It's got £2 in.
Aye.
That's the one you should use.
Right.
Free banking.
Mm-hmm.
And you get your customers to pay into that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know I'm not keen on cash businesses, so you want people to pay by bank transfer.
Mm-hmm.
Bank transfer.
Yeah.
You could use an app like Go Cardless, or you can get Sum and Square for the card payments.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And you just pay per transaction.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So you can be a small business with a credit card facility or a debit
mm-hmm.
card facility,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and look really professional.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't cost you a lot of money to do it,
mm-hmm.
and the money goes straight into the bank.
Yeah.
So the main thing is you've got to have a bank account.
Yeah.
And I always say you should have online banking so you can,
mm-hmm.
you know, download it into QuickBooks.
Yeah, for
if
sure.
That's what you
Which
want
we just
to
did
do.
The other week, didn't we?
Yeah. And how long did that take?
Oh, not
Two
long
minutes.
At all. No.
So yeah, bank account and then record. You must keep a note. And you have to find a way. And I think this is the hardest bit when you start a business. What do you need to do? If you don't go and meet with an accountant and get some advice, then just keep a diary and record in it. So some of my customers who are not IT literate, they'll have a diary. And in the diary, they'll write, you know, say for dog walkers,
mm-hmm.
you would, you know, I took out five dogs for Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Smith. And he gave me however much he charged.
Mm-hmm.
So say you've got £40 that day.
Mm-hmm.
£40 in. You have a column for your in and a column for your out. So £40 in, and then I spent, I don't know, £10 at Dom's
mm-hmm.
store to get some dog chews or whatever, and money spent out. Now, you need to keep your receipts. Usually, I'd say get an envelope or a plastic wallet and stick it in there and note that you've put it in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the week, total up how much you've had in and how much you've had out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know how much profit you've made.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know the little trick I always say, it's not all your money.
Yeah.
So say you've made £100 that week. You would then need to put something away for your tax. And as we were saying earlier, it's not just the tax.
Mm.
It's national insurance. So your tax is at 20% if you're in the basic rate band, and your national insurance is 9%.
Mm-hmm.
So there's 29%.
Mm.
But you are allowed, and this is where it gets a bit complicated, you are allowed to earn some of that money tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
So tax-free is £12,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So you maybe break that down into a weekly amount.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say, oh, I don't have that much. I'd have to get my calculator out because
yeah.
you know I don't
yeah,
do
yeah.
sums. You work out what you're allowed to earn on a weekly basis tax-free. Mm-hmm. The national insurance-free limit is lower. It's something like £8,500.
Mm-hmm.
So you divide that by 52, mm-hmm. and that's your weekly amount for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you work your 9%
mm-hmm.
and your 20%. And if you want, if you go to spreadsheets, you could have a spreadsheet to work it out. I could give you a template,
mm-hmm.
let people
mm-hmm.
work that
yeah,
out
yeah,
on
that. Yeah,
yeah,
that'd be great,
yeah. Or you do a projection for the year,
mm-hmm.
or you get your accountant to do a projection for the year, work out how much your tax is going to be, and save it up,
mm-hmm.
just as a fixed amount. You might just say, oh, I need to save £50 a week for my
mm-hmm.
tax. Because what you don't want, and you should never have, a surprise about your tax.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you've seen it. I had a photographer once, and he brought his stuff in. I can't remember whether it was before Christmas or after Christmas, but it was very close to the filing deadline. And he'd had a cracking year, absolutely gone from maybe he's earning £15,000 a year up to, I think, 25,000,
mm-hmm.
a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, his tax bill was £3,000, whereas
mm-hmm.
the year before, I think it had been about £800. And he's finding out at Christmas,
mm-hmm.
not only has he got this £3,000 tax bill,
mm-hmm.
tax and national insurance, but he also has to pay payments on account.
Mm-hmm.
And you've heard those words before.
Mm.
What on earth are payments on account?
Mm-hmm.
If your tax goes over £1,000, you then have to pay half again. So
mm-hmm.
instead of paying £3,000 at the end of January, you had to pay £4,500.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it ruined his Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
had we done being able to do his tax return in the July or whatever, he would have known.
Mm.
And then he could have saved up for it.
Yeah.
If he hadn't been saving along the way.
Yeah.
And so it's about planning.
Yeah.
So I know everybody hates doing the tax and
mm.
all the rest of it. But really, if you want to be in control of your life
yeah.
and not spoil your Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, you say don't get a puppy for Christmas, don't get a tax bill for Christmas.
get
it in the summer.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, I've in a way that payment on account, I guess it's like it's good because you're kind of paying it as you but that first one is a shock.
It is a shock.
Yeah,
and
it was for me too. Yeah,
so success comes with a price.
It does.
And if you put off doing your tax return, it comes as a nasty shock.
Mm,
and
mm-hmm.
and that's what we're trying to, this is why we're trying, you know, pressurise people into coming in earlier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, badger them a bit.
Yeah, for sure. But it's
yeah.
like, yeah, so that really, mm-hmm. that was a shock to me. And so this year I've squirreled.
Yes.
I've squirreled away.
But you're learning the hard way. And
yeah,
really
definitely.
What we want to do is share that experience to people who listen to your,
mm-hmm.
your broadcast, just to say, just don't put it off.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Do it, you know, if you can't do it in April or May, do it over the summer, and definitely do it before, you know, the end of October,
uh-huh.
so you're not spoiling your Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
You need to have time to plan.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is too much, it's like, well, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Because I've seen people think, oh, I've got loads of money in the bank, I've done really well. They go and book a holiday, spend all the money on holiday, I'll tell you the other thing as well, spend a fortune on presents for the kids for Christmas. I just say, just don't do it. Know your tax bill before you buy
yeah,
presents for
yeah,
the
yeah.
children. And then you can plead poverty to your family, and the family will buy the gifts. Times to people say, what can I get the kids for Christmas?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you've bought them all, you're robbing
yeah, yeah.
their pleasure. So
mm-hmm.
you could say,
mm-hmm.
well, I've had this horrible big tax bill,
mm-hmm.
And I've got to put away for that. So could you buy this gift for my child for Christmas? Honestly, it's a win-win.
I like
isn't
it, Lorraine. This is devious. This is devious stuff.
It's not devious
well,
at all.
Okay.
It's pleasure to everybody
right,
because the relations want to know what can they buy.
Yeah.
They don't really want to give a gift
no,
card.
No.
Uh-huh. They want to buy something.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
the
for sure.
Want
yeah.
And if you've stolen all the best ideas for the Christmas
yeah,
presents,
yeah, uh-huh.
you're denying them of that pleasure.
No, I like it.
Uh-huh.
I like it. I've never thought about it before, but I like it.
Parents
yeah,
can
no.
be selfish.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And like you say, we go over the top, don't we?
Oh, you know, definitely.
Like, I mean, in some ways, it's nice to be spoiled people a little bit, but like you can take it too far.
You should only do that if you know you've paid your tax bill.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you don't know what your tax bill is, how can you decide how much you're going to give to Father Christmas for the presents?
No, very true, very true. Yeah. And I think, just to touch on something that you said there before, the I think it's the... for me personally, anyway, over the years, it's been like the not knowing, you know, like when I've not known what it's going to be.
It's like a big black cloud in the back
of
your head.
Yeah, it is, and it, you lose sleep over it, and you know.
So even if it's a bad figure.
Exactly.
You've got
to rather
certainty.
Know, wouldn't you? I mean,
and
you wouldn't.
You can well,
yeah, you would,
you
really,
would
yeah.
actually, because yeah. it does, it just knocks away at the back of your head, and you're lying on a night trying to get to sleep, and then all of a sudden it'll, oh God, I need to get that tax return done. Oh my God, how much is my tax going to be? Oh, and it's a worry.
Yeah.
So if you know how much it is, good or bad, you can do something about it. And there are lots of things you can do about it. But if you go to an accountant at Christmas time or in January, there's no room to do anything.
No.
There's no time to plan. There's no things we can do to, I don't know, ease the burden, really.
Yeah, definitely.
And,
yeah.
and sometimes you can...
sometimes there is, isn't there, things you can do.
You can do payment plans. Uh-huh. We can see, I know you haven't got the money because you've spent it on the kids for Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
Buying them laptops and mobile phones and iPhones. but here's a plan, and by the time you get to the end of March, you'll have paid it.
Yeah.
And this is what the HMRC will charge you.
Yeah.
And then you say, yeah, I can live with that.
Aye.
You've got certainty. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, you just have that feeling of power. Mm-hmm. You're in control of your finances.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anything better, to be honest.
No.
And it gets rid of the worry.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. And that worry, obviously... that worry prevents you from
making decisions.
Yeah, making decisions and planning and having ideas, doesn't
or
it?
Or making the wrong decision.
Yeah. Because you might take on a client that you don't really want to work with, or you might take on because you're worried about cash and that, you know. But
you take on the wrong clients instead of having that boldness about, oh, I don't really want to work with that person. They're going to either have me jumping through hoops for not a lot of money, and it's not the right thing to do. You could go and focus on building a better business and working with the people you want to work with and obviously the dogs you want to work with.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's important to people,
But just having that, being in control of your own life, there's nothing better.
No.
Really, is it?
No. Yeah.
That's why you have to have your personal budget as well as your business budget.
Yeah.
And your personal budget comes from your goals. What do you want to do with your life?
Yeah.
Do you want to go on 3 holidays? Or do you just want to build up so you can pay the mortgage off, or do you want to pay more off your mortgage, or do you want to invest in a pension?
Yeah.
And without your personal budget, then your business budget, you cannot do any of that.
Yeah.
So it all links together.
Yeah, for sure.
That's why you cannot just do a tax return in isolation.
No.
That's why you
have
to find out about the person, what they're trying to do, how many children they've got, and how much they spend for the Christmas presents. Can you believe we've talked about Christmas already?
No, well, yeah.
It has to be planned.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And you, so just to go back what I was saying, touch upon earlier with me, and I think that's where I'm at now, was really with mine, where I'm like, right, let's get this
you
personal.
You want to be in control.
Yeah, I want to be
in charge.
I feel like the lots of parts of the business are going well, you know.
They're going very well.
Yeah.
But you letting the tail wag the dog, really.
I'm really looking forward to over the next. Whatever it's, I know it's going to take months
not
or
long,
not
no,
very long,
not
couple of weeks
long.
Or something
couple
like
weeks,
that.
A couple of weeks.
To be in a position where I'll be able to say, well,
you know exactly how much money, how much profit you've made.
Yeah.
And then because it's early, we can look at it and say, well, Tom, we're putting this in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Or you spent, did you know how much you've spent on that?
Yeah.
Service line, that product. Can you get a better deal? Can you share the costs with, you know, some of your followers and whatever? Things like, one of the things we always pick out is how much people are spending on mobile phones. Some people don't realise that and claim a proportion of it as part of their expenses. And we teach them how to do that and working out what's a fair method. Because what you don't want is to go into a, you know, the HMRC asking you something and you not knowing the answer.
Yeah.
So if you've got little notes, you know, why did you do that? And helping to define how much it is. So we look at that and we say, God, how much are you paying?
Yeah.
And we can say whether it's reasonable, because we're looking at loads of different businesses.
Mm-hmm.
We can see how much everybody pays for their phone. And whilst we can't tell you that, you know, so-and-so has got a cheaper price, we can say, why don't you speak to somebody about your phone? contract when it's up for renewal and look at this sort of level of how much to pay.
Yeah.
And then we would say, well, what do you use it for? Are you using the internet? Do you need unlimited data? How many texts do you send? Do you send videos and all the rest of it? And you can get the right product.
Yeah.
But if you've got the same phone contract that you had like 20 years ago and you're paying, and it just goes up all the time, and you've not looked for a better price, you could be paying like 90 quid a month when you could really get away with 40 quid a month.
Yeah,
just, we point things out like that because we're nosy.
Yeah, well, no.
And we look at, and when it's on QuickBooks, you can run reports and you can see it month by month and you say, oh, you've missed, you've not paid your rent that month if you've got premises, or why was your phone bill £200 that? And if you've got, you know, staff or whatever, you might not realise. We picked up one the other week, it was somebody was paying £20 a month for their phone. They'd just had a new phone contract and they'd getting the price down, £20 a month. And then one month it was £30. So I had a look at the bill. And they'd been charged for ringing a 0300 number or 0800 number, something like that. So I rang and I said, do you realise you're paying outside the contract for this? Oh, no, I didn't. So she made a phone call to the company and got it paid extra £250 a month to have it in the contract.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
And she sometimes goes over to Europe and she would have been paying a fortune making phone calls and not realising they weren't in a contract. So whilst it was £10 we picked up, we've probably saved our £400
from the
future. Yeah, so it's little things like that where we're picking things
up.
You cannot even say, oh, it's only £2.50 or whatever. It's what is it saving?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and if you're saving £400, and that's what we look for.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we share it about.
I think that's going to be interesting for us when we decide what we're doing. What to cut back on, not only in the business but also with the personal stuff as well. Because like we did this before, years ago actually, before I even started the business, Beth, she stepped away from teaching for a while, and we just cut back on all the shit. Do you know what I mean? Like what you do, you know?
I love it. You just live like a pauper and pretend you've got no money. It's a really good exercise, even if you've got money, because you just think, how much money am I wasting on things I don't really need? And my favourite one is Sky. Sky, but you know, you pay for all these Disney films that nobody ever watches, and you could just go and rent a video for pay on demand or something like that, you know. So I get people to have a look at their Sky bills, their iPhone bills. Do you really need to have that latest model when it comes out? Do you have to be queuing at the door? Obviously, I'm a Samsung person and an Android, because I don't want to pay for it. I don't want to be hooked in by the Apple thing. What have you got, Dom?
I've got an iPhone.
Do you get the latest model?
I get through GoCan, actually.
He's brilliant.
Does he still get
my phones through GoCan.
He's
the best.
Good lad,
he's
really
just
good
done
lad.
Me a deal for the next lot.
Oh, has he?
Because I've run out of storage. I've been taking photographs and doing videos, and I haven't got no storage because my phone's 2 or 3 models. I'm on an S6. Absolutely have to.
Right, okay.
And now, because I'm running out of storage, I think it's time. And have you seen the nifty ones? You've got the little pen thing.
All right, yeah. Oh, you like that one?
So it's got a lot more storage. So I'm just working out how I can.
You've gone from not wanting gadgets to.
I love my gadgets.
Salivating, all right.
Yeah, but it's time. I need it because I'm doing videos and all
the
rest.
You need the kit, don't you? Definitely. So you touched upon like expenses and stuff there as well then. So where do is there like a simple formula for what can I claim for this or can I not, or not really?
It's really complicated, but really if yous are all dog walkers, then you should be sharing information. So the main things that come out are mobile phones, mileage, you know, 45 pence a mile, any stationery you buy. The question to ask is, when you go and buy something, are you using it for the business? And if you are, then claim it.
Yeah.
Things that you can't is if you all meet up and you pay for, say you got together with your colleagues and you you paid for the lunch. Obviously, I know you won't because you're on a strict budget. But if you were paying for
sometimes
the lunch...
Sometimes I do pay for dinner, actually, yeah, I do.
Then you're not allowed to claim that because it's classed as entertaining.
Right.
However, if you put a training course on and you served lunch as part of that training course, that's part of putting the training course on.
Right, right, right.
So then that's not entertaining because you're teaching and it's part of the cost of the event.
Oh, right, right.
So it's finding out how to do what you want to do with a business angle.
Yeah.
So we've helped people to, you know, they've gone away to, you've done this, gone over for a conference.
Yeah.
And if it's business, mm-hmm. and there are strict requirements on it, but if it's business, then yes, you can claim it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if you go over and you say, oh, it's going to be a business trip, but basically I'm touring America,
mm-hmm.
well, it's not a business trip.
No, no, no.
You're going to a convention for half a day, but you're on holiday for 2 weeks. That is not a business trip. So we help people to accept what's business and what's not.
Yeah.
But with a bit of planning, you can do quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And get tax allowance for it. But you've got to do it in the right way. You've got to plan it properly. And this is where the accountant comes in if you're doing that sort of thing. So...
Cool. No, I think you've handled that well. Yeah. Uh-huh. So, what about like when people are like growing, you know, and they're growing and they're maybe thinking about taking on staff, before the point to where maybe they think about having to go limited or something like that. Uh-huh. What about that step, like taking on staff and
you
stuff? What
really
do people need to be aware of?
You need to take some advice. You really do. Mm. Most accountants will give you, you know, an hour of their time or go to some talks. HMRC have got zillions of videos and they are really helpful. And there's forums, you can go on, there's a thing called Accountant Web where there's forums where people have asked the same sort of questions. It's quite a big leap to take on an employee. You need employer's insurance, you need a payroll system, you need to pay them, you need to pay taxes and national insurance of it. HMRC, and there's a lot involved, which is why a lot of people do it by collaboration. They'll use another self-employed person because it's a big step, and you should think about it very carefully. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, but you need to identify why you're going to recruit somebody, and are you going to? It's a long-term plan.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not, I'm going to employ somebody for 3 months. Mm-hmm. You just wouldn't bother.
No.
It's a long-term plan. And do it right.
Yeah.
So find out what is it you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
How you're going to recruit the right person, because you don't want to recruit somebody and have them leave, because then you've got to recruit again.
Yeah, for sure.
So recruit once, recruit right, and know exactly what you need to do in advance of you doing it. We sometimes have people, they'll take somebody on and then we'll find out when we're doing the tax return that they've been paying them, you know, £200 a week salary. Well, they've missed all the boat because they haven't registered for pay as you earn, they haven't submitted the files, they're at risk of penalties. So you really need to take advice definitely beforehand.
Yeah.
And that you should go and talk to an accountant or a payroll bureau.
Yeah.
There's a guy in Sunderland has a payroll bureau, and you can go and talk to him, Enrico. Very good service there. Or go and talk to an accountant. They'll all, you know, give you the right advice. Because we know it's difficult. I would say do not try and run your own payroll.
No.
I really wouldn't. We do have people who do, but if you don't know what you're doing, it's a specialist area. And then you grow and you become, you verge on being VAT registered. So it's if your turnover reaches £85,000 on a 12-month rolling basis, you then have to register for VAT. So first of all, you have to know that you're getting there.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever. What's 85 divided by 12? I work on $5,000 or $6,000 a month, which gets you to the $60,000 level. Then you should start looking at it. Dom's got you for one out. So £7,000 a month.
Yeah.
So if you're regularly hitting over 5,000, you need to look at, do I need to be VAT registered?
Yeah.
Because we had another photographer who didn't want to be VAT registered. So we had to measure his income very carefully because, you know, the wedding season can spike up your turnover. And he had to turn away wedding photography, so he didn't go VAT registered. So it's that sort of thing.
Right.
And being in control rather than at the end.
Yeah.
And having to register retrospectively. That's bad.
Yeah,
you're not charging your customer. the VAT. And you end up absorbing it. You're losing 20% of your profit straight away. It's a painful exercise, that one. So, yeah, being ahead of the game, you really need to be using some software. Mm-hmm. Now, as you know, we only do QuickBooks. Mm-hmm. Love it. Mm-hmm. But there's also Xero, there's Sage, there's a lot of other programs. Just find the one that's suitable for you.
Yeah.
Obviously, people are not allowed to come into our little fold if they don't go on QuickBooks.
So that's fair enough. People get a bit... Well, I don't have a lot of... But some people get quite protective over their... Is it just personal choice?
Is it personal choice, from
your point of view, you wouldn't use QuickBooks unless it wasn't the best one. I would imagine for you.
To be honest, the Xero product is a good match.
Right.
And if you speak to a Xero person, they'll say that Xero is better than
you.
But we wanted to be efficient.
Yeah.
We don't want our customers to have to pay for us to train on two different systems.
Right.
So we wanted to focus just on one. Mm-hmm. We have used them all.
Yeah.
So we can get about, but we wanted to be efficient and just really get deep knowledge of that
better.
One
product. Much better, too.
And we love it. So we just, that's all we do. It's great.
Yeah.
But if somebody comes in and they're not suited to QuickBooks, we did have a lady who didn't take to it, and we've said to her, you need to go and find someone else.
Mm-hmm.
We're not right for you. You mm-hmm. don't like the product. You've mm-hmm. got to go and find what you like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all, you know, friendly or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've offered to give her some help to get something else sorted before she leaves. But it is personal choice.
Yeah.
And not everybody takes it. Some customers of ours don't take to it, but they just pay us to do it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So that's great. Because then we can get it. And some people, we set it up for them.
Mm-hmm.
So we set it all up, and then we'll pass it back to them in little bits and pieces.
Yeah.
So we'll say, right, take over the customer invoicing,
mm-hmm.
take over the customer payments, take over the supplier invoices. Right, then we'll show you how to put your expenses on.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll show you how to do the bank reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, a lot of people will say, what on earth is she talking about? Bank reconciliation. It's the font of making sure everything balances.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But we'll not go into it because it's part of learning to be an accountant.
No worries, yeah.
But we train some of our customers on how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll know that the books are right.
Yeah, yeah.
And some people are at that level and some people are not.
Mm-hmm.
But yes... So we know it works. QuickBooks do have a self-employed version, which we don't, you know, forgive me, QuickBooks, but we don't recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is suitable if you're running your own business.
Uh-huh.
But you can't balance the cash and you can't balance the bank on it.
Right, right.
So it hasn't got enough bells and whistles for us to help you to control things.
Yeah.
So we just say, get the basic version. And obviously, we're Platinum Pro Advisors. So we pass on our discounts to our clients.
Right.
So
cool.
We want them just to use it. So we don't want to make money out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we just let them have it at what we pay. It just makes life easier. So we're connected to the bank, and it automatically brings down the transactions.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
it's amazing, that, isn't it?
It is. We've also tied it up with using an app called Auto Entry.
Mm-hmm.
So you get, say we get our rent invoice for the Evolve Centre. It comes in by paper because the council haven't caught up with the digital era yet. So we put it on the desk and I take a photograph on my Samsung phone on my app, which is the Auto Entry app. And I just literally press one little button which says publish. And then I get on with the rest of my day. I go make a cup of tea or go and talk to somebody else. And then when I go on the Auto Entry, well, actually it ends up miraculously in QuickBooks by magic, because it's OCR technology, optical character recognition.
Right.
So it looks at this picture of this invoice. It knows it's from Sunderland Council. It knows it's for rent. It knows it's got VAT on. And it pulls that information and converts it into a file with the date, Sunderland Council, rent, split for VAT. And it pushes it into QuickBooks automatically. I don't touch it at all because I've got it pre-set up like magic. And I've already told it that I paid by direct debit on the 28th of the month out of the current account. It does that as well. So literally, while I'm sleeping, the technology is doing the QuickBooks bookkeeping in the background without me.
Uh-huh.
All I had to do was take a photograph.
Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing.
Mm, mm.
So I'm loving it.
Mm.
And QuickBooks are going to bring out their own OCR app So I'm just waiting for that. They announced it in February. I think it'll be next February by the time I get it. So when that comes, honestly, it's going to be a revolution.
Even better.
I know. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Because at the minute with the QuickBooks app, you've got to type in. This is Sunderland Council. This is for rent.
Just a bit more time consuming.
The VAT raise 20%. So.
Yeah. I get it.
It's too much work.
I get it. Yeah, too much work. Too much work.
I know it is. It's too much work.
So when people are moving towards becoming VAT registered, when they're getting when your numbers are getting up, I mean, it might be worth doing this anyway, but when your numbers are getting up, it's worth moving on to something like QuickBooks and stuff.
Definitely.
What are the other kind of because obviously we always hear about the 20% and then when you go VAT, you know, you go VAT.
Well, you might want to be a limited company.
Right. Okay.
And it's not it's not something you take lightly. You've got to look at it because they've robbed us of all of the tax incentives. Because when you run a limited company, you can pay part of your salary and dividends. Well, it's not salary; it's classed as a dividend. And it used to be you paid your corporation tax. At the time, it was 20% corporation tax, and then you would get your dividends tax-free. Oh, we loved it. We had everybody on this, you know, tax-saving scheme. And then they took that away, and they started charging everybody 7.5% tax on your dividends. Well, it's ruined all of our tax planning. It was a, you know, on about Black Friday. That was a Black Friday for us when they announced that, because we had a lot of people on it. So now the corporation tax rate's come down to 19%, but you have to pay, so you have to pay that on your profit, and then you have to pay 7.5%. So the entry level of going limited is a lot higher now. At one time we used to say if your profit was 20,000 a year, you should look at doing limited, and now it's probably about 24,000.
Right.
But it's not just about tax savings. If you've got a limited company, you might do it because you want to protect your family home. You might want to grow a business that you're going to sell. Nobody really wants to buy a business from a sole trader. They want to buy a separate legal entity that's got its own identity. And if you've got a limited company, so if you're looking to build a business and grow it and sell it, you should, at the earliest opportunity, set up a limited company. That is the right way to do it. And then you're selling your shares to a buyer, and again you need to take advice when you're setting it up, because it all comes into capital gains tax, then it starts getting a bit complicated on the tax front. But that's why when you're setting up your business, you've got to decide what your end game is. And sometimes you don't know, because you don't know,
and it changes sometimes, doesn't it, along the way, you
and
know,
you just revisit it and just think, what's the end game going to be? And it depends where you are in your life. You might have somebody setting up a dog walk as part of a retirement plan, and all they're ever going to do is earn enough money to just get out in the fresh air and earn enough to top up their pension. So they don't need to set up a limit company.
No.
But if somebody's going to grow, you know, like your business, you're growing all these sort of different things, and you might look in the long term to sell it on, or, you know, I don't know, recruit loads of employees or whatever, or make it a shared business. And that would be ideal from a limited company point of view. But you've got to go through the steps and identify what it is. There's a lot of tax savings to be had if you really are earning a lot of money. So if you go into the 40% tax bracket, having a limited company is a really good way to control it. And the other thing is you can put into a pension fund and get good tax relief on that if you've got a limited company. So it's all about what's right for
big
your
picture again.
It is. It's where you're going to end up. And you might think, I'm going to create a limited company, but not yet. So then you would look at how you do your roadmap for 3 years' time. And one of the biggest things that needs to be taken into account is what are you going to do about your life? So if you were going to do get a mortgage or a remortgage, you really do need to plan, because some mortgage people won't give you a mortgage if you change your income from sole trader to limited company. Some will, and we've got Paul Hampton in our group. He knows people, he knows the right mortgage people to contact. And you can have spikes in your income, whereas if you've got a limited company, you can flatten out your spikes. Also, if you're earning more than 50,000, and a lot of people don't really realise this, your child benefit gets took off you.
Right,
can
right,
you
right.
believe that?
No.
So if you've got somebody earning £50,000 a year and somebody earning nothing or £10,000, your child benefits took off because one person earns more than £50,000.
Uh-huh.
You might only have £60,000 coming into the house.
Yeah.
Versus somebody who's two of them are on £30,000.
Yeah,
they keep their.
Yeah, that changed right. last year, did that?
It's
that?
Been 2 years from
two
now, I think.
Years,
and now
yeah.
they're picking up on people and penalising them.
Jesus.
Opening inquiries and charging people. And we're getting caught out because some people don't tell us that their partner's earning more than £50,000. So it's
interesting. Interesting.
It is, isn't it?
Right. So we've gone right through the
the growth phase.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we have, haven't we? Yeah. We've covered pretty much. There's lots in there. I'm sure the guys will listen and re-listen to that plenty of times. They might even have some questions for me as well. So I think what I might do,
Lorraine,
is
fire your questions over.
Well, have we may as well do another one. Maybe in a month
Excellent.
Or two's time when.
When I'm in the middle of doing the tax return.
Yeah, no, well, maybe not then. Maybe the month after.
No, we can still do it.
Whenever,
we can still. To be honest, it is a good time because if people haven't started doing the tax return, it might encourage them.
Yeah.
And we're here to inspire people to get back in control and do their tax returns.
Brilliant.
They could even tell you the questions in advance.
Yeah,
so
they
could,
yeah, then we could answer them. Yeah, that would be a great idea, yeah.
Because the same questions come up all the time.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
same.
And there's no such thing as a daft question.
No, there really isn't. I agree.
Yeah.
Big style. Excellent. Yeah. So where can people go to find out more about you then? And
Well, we've got a website.
Uh-huh.
Now then, because we've been busy, we've took the telephone number off the website, except I did find it hidden in a little bit at the bottom of the screen somewhere. We've got a link. We've even took the contact form off.
Right.
Because we've directed it.
Positioning for you.
I know. We've directed it to QuickBooks, because that then tells people they've got to go on QuickBooks if they want to come and join us.
Yeah.
And but saying that, you know, I'm happy to help you and your your group. And if somebody wanted to ask a question, I'm more than happy to give an email response, as long as it doesn't take me 3 hours to do the work.
Sure.
It's
things that
are in my head that people might just think, oh, I'm not sure about the answer to that. And I can also find the link on HMRC. There's that much information. It's trying to find which bit fits. They probably have a video for dog walkers.
Yeah, they probably do.
They're trying to do it by
certainly a growth
industry,
isn't it? So,
But sometimes you're looking for the answer and it's there, but you can't find it.
No.
And I know where to find the answer.
Yeah, for sure.
I can. And the thing is, if somebody does want a question answering, then I'll give it to you and you can share it with the
group. Great idea.
And then everybody learns a little bit.
No,
they might not have thought to ask the question. They might not realise they can claim something.
We don't know what you don't know, do you?
Exactly. And I think the great thing about being in a group of doing similar things is you can all share that knowledge.
And everybody benefits then, don't they?
And that's what it's all about, helping each other.
And especially with this, where it's like a bit of a, this is like a bit of a taboo. Like, well, it is, you know, because if you're not confident with it, you know,
exactly.
if you're not confident with the number side of it. I never like giving advice about anything. Obviously, I don't know about, you know. So this has been brilliant for me.
Good.
And I think, from my point of view, just to finish off, I would just say, find somebody who you can trust, who's going to help you on your business journey, really, you know, because.
But we love startups. We love to help people to grow, and we love to just share the knowledge without revealing any confidences.
Everything's
very confidential, but we can share, you know, point people in the right direction.
Definitely. So, well, thank you very much, Lorraine.
No problem. It's been a pleasure.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you.